There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Live sport. This is The Grill
with Tom Urquhart.
Exclusively on Dubai Eye 103.8, where we, you, and the world of sport gets to have a say.
Okie dokie, let's just bring you up to date with a couple of lies before we get some more details on our 6 o'clock kickoff in the Premier League, courtesy of our friends at TalkSport. Let's just go to, we can go to the cricket first. Mark Archer's keeping an eye on developments down at Lord's. Day 3 of the Test match.
Yeah, it may not go past day 3 as well. It may not even go past the session, Tom, because the West Indies in their second innings, 168 for 8. They only lead England by 97 runs, 2 wickets remaining. Coach Roach and Holder at the crease for the West Indies. Jimmy Anderson's picked up 6 wickets in the second innings for England. So it's England looking to win this match, and they will win the series 2-1 if they can do so. But West Indies, 168 for 8, only lead England by 97 runs, 2 wickets remaining. England look to wrap it up the session.
Let's go over to the Etihad, where Manchester City have extended their lead against 10-man Liverpool. Chris McCarthy's watching this one.
Yeah, they have indeed, Tom. Final 20 minutes at the Etihad Stadium. It remains Manchester City 3, Liverpool 0. Story of this tale, really. Liverpool down to 10 men. Sadio Mane sent off for dangerous play, really. Ederson stretchered off the Manchester City goalkeeper. I am happy to report that there is no concussion. He has not been taken to hospital. The City staff are giving him the once-over at their medical ground very close to the Etihad Stadium. So we look and hope, and certainly sincerely hope, that Ederson is fine and will be back in the sticks sooner rather than later for Manchester City. Gabriel Jesus has added to his burgeoning reputation. Another 2 goals for the Brazilian. That's now 10 in 14 starts for City. Sergio Aguero as well, he's added his name to the score sheet as well. A little harsh on Liverpool. They've not been in the races this second half. Manchester City, under Pep Guardiola, are playing against 10 men, as you'd expect. They're keeping the pitch nice and wide. They keep on coming, do City. But it is, with 75 minutes on the clock, Manchester City 3, Liverpool 0.
What else has happened since we've been on air? I can tell you that Levante did hold Real Madrid. It finished 1 apiece down there at Real Madrid. So dropped more points the Real Madrid team. We'll have more reflection on that one in just a little while. We've got plenty to look forward to, though. Loads of football across the whole of Europe, none more so than in the Premier League. You've got Stoke against Man U. That's live here in the UAE on Dubai Eye 103.8 from 8:30 this evening. But at 6 o'clock, stay tuned. So as soon as we go off air from Barasti here, you've got Arsenal against Bournemouth, Brighton against West Brom, Everton take on Tottenham, Southampton at home to Watford. Any goals going in there, you will be the first to know right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. But Chris McCarthy, our feature game is Leicester against Chelsea.
It is indeed Leicester against Chelsea. Tom and the boys over at TalkSport, they surprised me, so they did on Thursday, because I was led to believe that it was Everton against Spurs. But they've done a little U-turn. They've come at me left field, and it will now be Leicester against Chelsea. And I'm delighted to say we can now cross live to the UK to talk to the match commentator for this one this evening. It is Kevin Hatchard, and he joins us now live on the line. A very good afternoon to you, Kevin.
How are we, guys? We well?
Yeah, very well over here. The sun is shining, my friend. The question is the sun shining over in Leicester today?
It is not as sunny as it is over there, I have to say. We're having to make do with the fact that the night's drawing in now, and it is getting a little bit more chilly. The heating's being put on more and more often nowadays.
It certainly is. Listen, enough of the weather. Let's talk football. Leicester-Chelsea this afternoon. Let us start, if we can, Kevin, with the away team, Chelsea. A lot said over the off-season about Antonio Conte, about him maybe not being happy. They've bounced back from that defeat against Burnley, and it all looks rosy again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And Conte's been keen to stress that you can only really judge their transfer business at the end of the season. And I think he's right about that. I think they've added to the squad that won the Premier League. I think Alvaro Morata has come in and given them something different, and he's hit the ground running. He's been scoring goals in the way that many of us suspected he would. I think Morata's always needed a regular starting spot somewhere, and he has that now. And I think he will go from strength to strength. He's looked very good so far. This is a Chelsea team, yes, that lost its opening game in the Premier League at home to Burnley, but they had a man sent off very, very early on in Gary Cahill. So they've really dug in. They've shown their quality since then, and they're looking for a third straight Premier League win against the Leicester team that they've beaten so often in the last few seasons. They've beaten 3 times in all competitions in the last campaign.
Yeah, let's talk Leicester as well. We'll come back to Chelsea, but just on Leicester, Kev, Riyad Mahrez, on the transfer deadline day, the Algerian FA released a tweet saying that he's essentially been allowed to go and secure a move away from Leicester. There was reports he was in Barcelona, London, Manchester. My goodness, I think there was a few people that even said he was on the moon. We didn't quite know where he was. He has stayed at that football club, though. What are you reading into that? Is Leicester, do you feel, have they got a player there that will still give his 100% and still be a big player for them across the season?
Yeah, he will. I think he's shown great professionalism, and Craig Shakespeare, his manager, has drawn attention to that. He says that his body language has been great in training. He's been up for it, and you look at his performances so far, they've been very good. So, you know, it can go one of two ways. Sometimes when players don't get the move that they want, they do sulk and you know, disappear. Certain Diego Costa springs to mind. But Mahrez has gone the other way, and he's been excellent so far. And yes, it didn't quite work for him, that move away. They couldn't agree a fee with Leicester, any of the clubs who were interested. And so I think he will be good for at least until January, maybe for the rest of the season.
Yeah, watch this space with Riyad Mahrez. It'll be interesting to see come January transfer window whether he is still a Leicester City player. Coming back to Chelsea, we've obviously seen Alvaro Morata. He's hit the ground running. One piece of good news for Chelsea is that Eden Hazard is on his way back as well. And we've seen what kind of player he is on his day. There are few as devastating as the little Belgian, is there?
He's a fantastic player, and he's hugely important to what Chelsea will try to do. This season we saw the real Hazard last season, after a couple of seasons ago, he rather took the season off. He had that damaged ankle on international duty with Belgium back in June, but he played for Belgium a couple of times in the recent international break, and I think that was important for him to get some minutes, and that was with the blessing of Antonio Conte. And yeah, I think he will be almost like a new signing for them at the start of this campaign, and it just, you know, reinforces my belief that Chelsea will be title contenders this season.
Interesting afternoon for Danny Drinkwater. Of course, he signed 9 days ago for Chelsea from Leicester. Let's hope he walks into the right dressing room when he arrives up in Leicester. What sort of reception will Drinkwater get from the Leicester faithful?
Yeah, well, Mark Albrighton, his old teammate at Leicester, said that he expects the Foxes fans to give him plenty of stick over the course of the 90 minutes, but then afterwards I think there'll be an acceptance of how important he was in their title victory. I think he's still a very popular player, and I think there's probably, you know, a realisation from the Leicester fans that he's earned his move, and they can see why he's moved on, because he wants to win more trophies, and, you know, Leicester did incredible, extraordinary things, but are they going to repeat those? Highly unlikely.
Yeah, £35 million as well. That is a decent bit of business for Leicester City. It is Leicester-Chelsea. That is our featured match from 6 p.m. here in the UAE and across the country as well, of course. Very quickly, Kevin, as well, team news ahead of this one. I believe the team lines have dropped. What news have you got for us on that?
Well, I have to say, as I've been speaking to you, I haven't seen them yet, so you probably may have seen them before me. But I've not had them handed to me just yet. That's about to happen.
Okay, so I'll give the team news over the course of the next few moments because, well, it is as you were. Chelsea, you'd expect them to start Alvaro Morata. I'll dig them out as well. Maybe I'm a little bit too premature on the team news this afternoon. But looking ahead to this match, very quickly, Kevin, expecting goals, what kind of outcome are you expecting over the 90 minutes?
I think there will be goals. I think so. I think you look at the attacking talent on both teams, and I think there will be goals. There usually are. When these two meet, it's been a long, long time since they've had a goalless draw between them, and it's 50-odd games since Chelsea had a goalless draw in the Premier League. So I think there will be goals, and I expect Chelsea to go on and win the game, even though Leicester is a tough place to go, as we know. I think Chelsea have shown great form in the last couple of games. I think they have momentum, and I think they have the quality to get the 3 points, but I think it'll be a really interesting game. Games between these two usually are, but Chelsea was so good against Leicester last season, not just in the Premier League, but in the League Cup as well.
Yeah, looking forward to this game. I can tell you, Kev, I've got the Chelsea team in front of me. Danny Drinkwater, he starts on the bench. Alvaro Morata will lead the line. Thiago Bakayoko starts as well, alongside N'Golo Kante and Cesc Fabregas. So Chelsea going for it this afternoon. Looking forward to it all. You will be in the hot seat. Enjoy it, my friend. We will be with you from 6 p.m. for Leicester against Chelsea. Kevin, for now, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.
Big thanks to Kevin for bringing us up to date with that one. In the meantime, whilst those team news has dropped, there's been another goal down
there. Yes, indeed. It has been a bad day at the office for Liverpool. It is now Manchester City 4, Liverpool 0. And Leroy Sané off the bench. It is he who has added at number 4. Really good goal this as well. Kevin De Bruyne, just the puppeteer. He is the one pulling the strings in the centre of the park. He finds Leroy Sané, a little cute through ball. Sané then feeds it out to the left-hand side to Benjamin Mendy. Mendy back to the German, sweeps it home with his left foot. Simon Mignolet didn't even have a chance as it swept past him at the near post. Manchester City, I know they've been against four, but from an against four, I know they've been against ten men for much of this match. But going forward, they're so pleasing on the eye. They are very, very good, and they've played this one really cute. They've kept the pitch wide. They've moved Liverpool around the field, and they've got their just reserves.
Is it fair to say Liverpool have been pretty meek, even going down to two men? They haven't really offered much. They haven't really looked to get back into the match.
I agree with that, Arch, but then again, you're up against a City side under Pep Guardiola who so comfortable in possession. They make the ball do the work, and as I say, they've kept the field so big. It's not been easy for Liverpool, but you mentioned that they've been meek. Yes, they have, but I think we take nothing away from Manchester City. They have been very good today. They led, of course, 1-0 before that Sadio Mane sending off. And Pep Guardiola, happy day for him and those City fans, because I expected Liverpool to get something out of this game. I really did. And for them to, even although they're against 10 men, for them to finish up this match with a 4-0 win says a lot about their title challenge.
Let's just hear from the two managers that will be going head-to-head down at Leicester in just a few moments' time. Craig Shakespeare taking on Antonio Conte. Let's start with the home manager. Shakespeare saying that Mahrez is fully committed to the job at Leicester.
I do think on Riyad's stance, and he was very transparent from the word go, even in the conversations I had with him, was he wanted to play for a top six club. He made that very, very clear. So in a way, I could understand from him and his advisers what they were doing. But having talked to him over the last couple of days, I'm in no doubt of his professionalism and his commitment to Leicester, of which he's shown since day one.
Meanwhile, let's get the thoughts of Antonio Conte ahead of his game. He wanted to speak before the game about failing to sign some of their key transfer targets.
I think the club tried to do its best in the transfer market, and sometimes you are able to buy, and sometimes you are not able to buy for many reasons. But I think that the club tried to do its best during the transfer market.
Time for a short break. When we come back, we're talking rugby, we're talking cricket, we're talking golf, and of course, we can't let you go without talking tennis as well. Lots to get through right here on The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti. If you want to watch some sport, get yourself down to Barasti. Good crowd in this afternoon of good sports fans watching a variety of different sport from across the globe.
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Lots of rugby to look forward to for rugby fans. Aviva Premiership. You've got top 14 action over in France. Curry Cup action down in South Africa. A couple of games are underway at the moment. Mark Archer's keeping on top of those for us.
Yeah, we had all the rugby championship matches earlier today. Quick results from there. 23 all between the Wallabies and the Springboks in Perth. First game this morning was won by the All Blacks, 39 points to 22 against Argentina. Domestic rugby, club rugby in the Northern Hemisphere is well underway now. Bath are hosting Saracens. Saracens have three British and Irish Lions in their outfit today, but Bath have taken the early lead at the recreation ground. Reece Priestland with the penalty after 18 minutes. Bath 3, lead Saracens 0. Later kickoffs this afternoon, the last season's Premiership Championship winners, Exeter will be at home to London Irish. Irish with a great win against Quins last week. At the Stoop at 6 o'clock, Quins will take on Gloucester, who had a good win in the first week of the Aviva Premiership. And then the late kickoff sees Northampton at home to Leicester. So plenty of action in the Aviva Premiership. Also five matches today in the Pro 14. The early matches in Scotland, where Glasgow will host Ospreys. All the other matches are late kickoffs at 8 p.m. And there is Curry Cup rugby underway. Western Province are taking on Free State, and it's the men from the Cape have run away to a fast start after 20 minutes. Western Province lead Free State 21 points to nil.
Also, we've got games underway in France as we speak at the moment. La Rochelle taking on Clermont Auvergne in that one. La Rochelle also running to a lengthy, a large first half lead in that one. They lead by 22 points to 6. Tries for Gabriel Lacroix, 2 to him, and to Victor Vito as well. Ryan Lamb with the conversions and a penalty. Camille Lopez scoring the points for Clermont Auvergne. Over at Bath, they're taking on Saracens at the moment. Low scoring affair there, Mark Archer.
Yeah, just the early points, as we said. Reece Priestland actually with the drop goal for Bath, the Welshman, means that after 20 minutes in that match, it's Bath 3, Saracens 0.
I love this one. I just want to play you a little bit of Eddie Jones. I'm liking Eddie Jones. He seems to come up with a good one-liner on occasion. So he's been doing a lot of media work and a lot of corporate work this week. And he spoke about why he selected Dylan Hartley as his captain and just what crazy Dylan brings to the team.
I remember when we named Dylan Hartley as captain, the RFU got a stack of letters about this big. And once one of the prominent public schools threatened to pull out of rugby because they thought, how can you put this lunatic in charge of the national team? And he's a lunatic, but he's a nice lunatic. And if you, nice lunatics are good to run teams because he's got that earthiness about him. You know, he's a boy from Rotorua, was up to no good in Rotorua. And if you've been to Rotorua, there's not much to do there, so you got to find ways to be naughty. And then he left and came to England, battled his way at Worcester Academy, went through Saints Academy and became a national team player. So he knows the value of struggle. He knows the value of how hard he's had to work. And that, and because he leads like that, it sets a great example for the rest of the team. And now there's at least four or five players that mimic his behaviour. And now we're starting to get a tipping point in the team where if you don't come to the England side and you don't give 100% and you don't give it all, then you're not going to be part of the team. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there.
It's a high five for Manchester City. They've kept the best to last. This is a fantastic goal. It's down the left-hand side. Benjamin Mendy overhits his cross. It comes out to Kyle Walker on the opposite flank. The two fullbacks combining. Kyle Walker feeds the ball into the feet of Leroy Sané. We're just seeing pictures of Pep Guardiola. Even he was impressed with that one. Leroy Sané shifts it onto that left foot of his and then just opens the body up and sends it into the far corner. Simon Mignolet, no chance. The rain is falling in Manchester. Some things never really do change. They're falling on top of Jurgen Klopp. We've seen a picture of him there. He is gloomy. His mood is gloomy, and rightly so. It's Manchester City 5, Liverpool 0.
Manchester City 5, and good news, just pictures of the goalkeeper on the sideline there as well, up on his feet. Got a big plaster on his face, so has taken one for the team, but good to see that seems to be about it. It's full-time down at the Etihad, so a lot to look forward to there. Let's get over to Lords. There's been another development down there. What's your name, Mark Archer?
Yeah, a couple more wickets, and it means that the West Indies have now been dismissed in their second innings for 177. The chief destroyer for England, like he has done for many years now, Jimmy Anderson, 7 for 42 he's taken. So I think that, if I do my rough maths, he's now got 505 Test wickets, a record for an Englishman. So West Indies dismissed for 177. England will need 106 runs for victory, maybe 107 if they need to get past that score. 106 will get them a tie. So 107 runs for England when they go out to bat. Some players there with a point to prove, but some players with a lot to lose but not doing well. So let's hope England get aggressive towards that score. They should wrap it up in the next session if they've got enough time. So England need 107 for victory, but Jimmy Anderson, the story's all about him. 7 for 42. He now has 505 test wickets. England should knock those runs off and win this match and then win the series 2-1, Tom.
Let's get over to Switzerland now, where we can bring you up to date with some golf news. The Grand Sur Sierre course in Switzerland is hosting the European Masters at the moment. Chris McCarty's checking out the leaderboard.
There's not much play, Tom. It's been suspended due to fog. What I can tell you and what we have witnessed over the course of the past couple of days is that it's a leaderboard dominated by a lot of Australians on there. Scott Hend, he currently leads the way on 14 under par. That's three shots clear of the South African Darren Fitchard. Now, I should point out as well, Scott Hend, a couple of magnificent rounds, a 64 in his opening round, followed that up with a 63. That is putting him into a wonderful wonderful position. He's currently one under today through two holes, so he's got a three-shot lead. Then comes Fabrizio Zanotti from Paraguay. He's a further shot back on 10 under. Then there's a couple of other Aussies. Todd Sinnott on 9 under. Marcus Fraser as well. He's at 8 under. He's 4 under through 13 today before that fog stopped play. So it is an Aussie that leads the way. There's got a few Aussies behind him as well, and even Scotland are being well represented at the top of the leaderboard. David Drysdale, he is 7 shots off the lead on 7 under par, but he is there competing. Tongchai Jaidi as well for Thailand. He's on 8 under. He's 1 over through his 2 holes today. But the big story, Scott Hend leads the way, and he's got a handsome lead as well. 3 shots clear of Darren Fitchard.
Let's hear from the Australian now as he waits to get back out on the course.
Yeah, possibly, but I think we've had better conditions the last 2 days than last year, so we'll see what goes on the weekend. Yeah, well, it's just puttering along. I just couldn't make a putt in the first 6 holes, and then just hit a pure 5-wood, and it's obviously landed fantastically on the green, rolled up there to about 4 feet and rolled it in to sort of get the round kicking off a little bit. Yeah, I think we got a bit fortunate with the wind conditions. It wasn't very windy out there, but the green seemed to bake out a little bit with a bit drier weather, so it became a little bit tricky with trying to read some putts out there. Oh, this golf course is a beast when it starts raining and windy, so the old cliche, it is what it is, and we'll just take it one step at a time.
Just before we go to a short break at the bottom of the hour, I just want to bring you up to date with some boxing news. David Benavidez has become the youngest ever fighter to win a super middleweight title by claiming the vacant WBC belt, aged just 20 years and 9 months. This in the week that we found out that AJ is going to be getting back into a ring. He's confirmed his bout in Cardiff with Pulev.
Pulev, yeah. End of next month?
End of next month, yeah, or thereabouts. But is it coming for a bit of a criticism that it's a bit of an easy fight?
Yeah, Pulev, I wouldn't imagine he's got... Well, listen, any heavyweight, you've got to give great respect stepping into a ring at any time. But yeah, AJ, that's the problem, Tom. He's coming in for criticism because in the heavyweight division, take Klitschko out of it, Deontay Wilder's a bit of an unknown quantity. There isn't much quality there. Unfortunately, AJ has just got to beat whoever they put in front of him. And, you know, I'm sure he'll do that. He'll put on a show over in Cardiff. I don't see Pulev shocking the world and shocking AJ, so it'll be a pretty straightforward evening, I'm sure, and the bank balance will get topped up and we go again.
Let's hear from AJ himself ahead of the fight.
People say, they could say it's an easy fight, and that's when your feet are on cloud nine, but I've got to be grounded and realise that, you know, I'm fighting, defending the heavyweight championship of the world in a serious business. He's very, very talented, you know. I think he's an Olympic bronze medalist, which shows that he's had the pedigree. He's like a star in his country, you know, like a king in Bulgaria, so I know he wants to come and give a good account for himself. And I just feel that no matter what I watch on YouTube or watching them fights, I think they always add 20 to 30% more when they come to fight me, so I've got to be prepared for a talented, a hungry and ferocious Pulev. For myself, I think I'm going to show him that I'm the bully in the ring and I'm the king of boxing and just kind of put him under pressure. And I think through that, he'll have to resort back to trying to land one big shot. So I have to keep my eyes open and my eyes peeled for the big right hand coming. But other than that, you know, if I can, I'd like to secure my 20th victory with my 20th knockout.
Going to go to a short break in a few moments' time. Not before we've gone over to Spain, though, because whilst there's been football ongoing already, there's also plenty going on with regards to La Vuelta, which is ongoing. It looks like Jurgen Klopp might be in a spot above it. We're just seeing pictures of his behaviour after the match. I don't know whether he went up to the referee to say something or shake his hand.
Yeah, there was definitely something said there. They're showing replays of it now. There was definitely something said in the direction of John Moss, the referee there. Jurgen Klopp clearly unhappy with the decision, which effectively ended Liverpool's chances of winning this match. That's sending off to Sadio Mane a little earlier. So we'll watch the space on that one. There could be more trouble.
I just want to get your thoughts on Chris Froome, because lots been made of this. Well, I don't know if enough has been made of this, because he is on the verge of doing something that no one has done before, certainly no British rider, winning La Vuelta.
Yeah, first man, winning Vuelta is a heck of an achievement, but he's the first man in 39 years to win the Tour de France and the Vuelta. It doesn't happen. I think there's only two men in history who have done those two grand tours back to back. So that gives you an idea of just what an incredible feat this is, and I'm with you. I've got to be very honest, Tom, and say I don't think Chris Froome does get enough plaudits in the mainstream media. Yes, okay, cycling is a niche, you could say a niche sport, and he is hailed in that particular field, but across the globe, I honestly do not feel Chris Froome gets enough credit, and whether that's a fallout from all of the nonsense that went on with Lance Armstrong, obviously there is you know, stories about Bradley Wiggins, and a lot of people just feel as if fed up of being duped by cyclists, for goodness sake, cyclists. But in Chris Froome's case, I spoke to Jan Polank from the UAE Team Emirates this past week, and I put the question to him. Jan, you know, just what, how much respect does Chris have in the peloton? He says immense. You know, we know how difficult it is just getting on the saddle and competing in these Grand Tours. He's winning them, for goodness sake. And I think, truthfully, you know, again, looking back at my UK roots, if Chris Froome goes on to win the Vuelta and he doesn't win the British Sports Personality of the Year come the end of the year, and before anyone texts in saying it's never been about personality, Andy Murray would never have won, for goodness sake, he should be right up there at the top of the tree, winning the Tour and then going back-to-back and looking on course to win the Vuelta, an incredible achievement.
So aiming to be the first man to win the Tour and the Vuelta in the same year since 1978, yep. Also aiming to become the first British winner of La Vuelta. He currently has a 97-second lead going into this, the penultimate stage of the race. That, I mean, it's basically the last stage, because tomorrow is a bit of a procession.
Yeah, it's the usual procession into Madrid, unless he had something massive happen. It won't happen. So today is the day. They'll look to attack him at every corner, but he's done enough. He's done too much to this point, Tom, to throw it all away today. 97 seconds in the world of cycling is a healthy lead. Yeah. Yes, okay, there's a couple of stage one climbs today, but listen, that won't be a problem for Chris. He is confident, he is experienced enough to get over that today and ensure that he does win the Vuelta.
75k left on this penultimate stage today in La Vuelta. 18 have broken out in front. They're puddling for all they're worth as they attempt to snap the elastic from the peloton. Looks like they are going to be allowed to go not that much further, though, as the peloton are closing on them at the moment. Trek Segafredo are the team doing the chasing. They're riding for Spanish favourite Alberto Contador, who's currently in fifth position overall, who's wanted to go out with a flourish today. Hangs up his cleats a little later on after this one. Chris Froome out in front. Vincenzo Nibali, only the man that could possibly catch him, but he would need a disaster, Froome, that is, in order to lose that 97-second lead he has at the moment. So we'll keep an eye on that one for you in the remaining half an hour of the show. Just kicked off in Bundesliga, so we'll get some updates on that one for you. Plus, of course, looking ahead to the two finals at the US Open. That's coming up after these.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti. The best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Yeah, getting ready for our 6 o'clock kickoff. It's live here on Dubai Eye 103.8. If you love your Premier League football, stay tuned. You've got Leicester against Chelsea, followed by Stoke against Manchester United. In the final half hour of the show, we're going to tell you all the early goals in the first half an hour of action over in Bundesliga. Also, looking ahead to tonight's all-American affair over at Flushing Madison. Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens will meet in the first all-American women's final at the US Open in 15 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the players, Madison Keys.
That is just the most astonishing set of combination hitting from Madison Keys. Magnificent Madison, what a tennis player.
And from the United States, Sloane Stephens.
Oh! Are you kidding me? Sloane Stephens will play for the US Open Championship.
Don't know about you, Chris McCarty, but I didn't see this one coming.
No, I didn't either, Tom. And I said so on Thursday. I thought Venus Williams was... Well, I thought it was written in the stars, but it just goes to show that in sport, nothing is ever written in the stars. Sloane Stephens was excellent in her victory over Venus Williams. Madison Keys blew Coco van der Vee away as well. And this is a final of two ladies who, did I expect at the start of the fortnight to be in the final? No, I did not. Is it indicative of where women's tennis is right now? Yes, it is. The fact that it just appears, what takes Serena out of the equation, and it is so wide, wide open. It's great that two Americans will be competing in the final. Certainly the New York crowd will support that. And this acts as a potential breakthrough for one of these ladies. A win, a Grand Slam win. Yes, okay, the target then becomes on your back, but what that can do for confidence. And for Sloane Stephens, she has been touted for a long time, hasn't she, as being almost the kind of natural successor to Serena Williams. She's got the power game to go with it, and I'm really looking forward to this final. I think, again, just going on it, based on our semi-final display and what she's done over the course of the fortnight. I think Sloane Stephens will take great heart from Venus. Then again, Madison Keys and Dustin Coco van der Wey, what was it, 1-2, 6-1, 6-2? The way she performed in that one means that this will be a hotly contested final.
It's an interesting matchup between these two because they're actually quite good friends off the court, and that'll make things difficult for a final. They've only ever played each other once during their careers, which Sloane Stephens won the match. But you look at their world rankings. Sloane Stephens, I know they both had some injury problems, and that probably doesn't reflect their world ranking and their form. But Sloane Stephens, 83 in the world, taking on Madison Keys, 16 in the world. And so Stephens with four titles and Keys with three. So they haven't won a lot in their careers. They're not that well ranked in terms of where they're at. But they've found form at the right time in front of home crowds. And I guess that it should make for a pretty close final, in theory.
16 in the world against 83 in the world. That is where women's tennis is right now.
It's not going to happen in the men's game, is it?
Well, you say that, but we've got Kevin Anderson in the final, and he's ranked 32. I think you've got to go all the way back to 1973. In fact, since the rankings begun, it's the lowest ranked player to reach a US Open final. So, you know, again, they've got Andy out, Novak out. There was no Stan Wawrinka, no Kei Nishikori, no Milos Raonic. That played into this. But, Kevin Anderson in the final, again. No one saw that at the start of the fortnight.
Give him a chance against Rafa?
None. No. Rafa will win this one in straight sets, I think. Kevin Anderson, all the nerves that go into playing in your first Grand Slam final. Rafa's been there. He's been over the course before. He was excellent for a spell. What did he reel off? 9 games at one point against Juan Martín Del Potro in that semi-final. Rafa will win this. And as a Federer, as a pro Federer over Nadal, a pro Federer fan, that moves him on to 16. Just 3 behind Roger Federer in the grand scheme of things. 16 Grand Slam titles for Rafa. It's insane that we're talking about Roger winning 19, but 16 on its own is incredible from Rafa.
Probably keeps Federer from retirement for another year as well. Just wanted to try and get that extra one. What a good chance he had, because obviously the draw opened up with the injuries, and he just came against Juan Martín Del Potro at top of his game.
He did. I think it was a step too far, a match too far for Roger. He said it himself. He didn't feel totally at ease in New York in the Big Apple over the course of the last few days. We're watching now little highlights of that Real Madrid game from a little earlier. Marcelo sending off. But, for Rafa, I think he will be buoyed by the fact that he's facing a man over the net in tomorrow's final that hasn't been in a final before. He'll be aggressive. I would imagine he'll go after Anderson early, really look to smother him, put pressure on early, and if he does that, I expect a straight sets victory.
Rafael Nadal swept past Juan Martin Del Potro in brilliant style to set up the US Open final against Kevin Anderson, the big South African by way of the United States, where he sort of learnt his trade. He beat Pablo Carreño Busta to secure his place in the US Open final. First time he's ever made it into a final of this stature. How much do we know about the big man himself? I mean, he's been off injured for quite some time, so he has confounded his critics to get this far. Let's hear from Kevin Anderson now about his rise back up the rankings.
You're having some hell of a summer.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely got off to a good start so far. It feels good to be back, playing some of the tennis that I know I've been capable of playing. It's been a bit of a rough road the last little while after, reaching my career high about a couple of years ago. But definitely feel like I'm on a good path, and always just kept working hard, kept my head down, and hopefully I'll be able to continue results, but also, take some steps forward into territory that I haven't yet been in.
And all three of your titles have come on outdoor hard, so you must love this part of the season.
Yeah, I do. It's definitely been one of my favorite times of the year. There's a lot of, it's hard. I feel like I've always dealt well in those conditions. I don't know if it's coming from South Africa and the altitude, but my body's, for the most part, has always been able to, withstand the heat. And obviously, some of these tournament spots during the US summer can get, can get pretty toasty out there.
You've lost to Sasha Zverev the last couple of times. Why is he so good? What's it like going up against this kid who seems so fearless and has so much game?
He's a big guy. He's got a big serve, and he's very consistent. Moves well from the back, but also hits a big ball from the baseline. So, I feel like when I play him, we often have pretty intense rallies. I'm also kind of, playing kind of similar tennis as well. I guess big serve, hitting the ball big from the back. I feel like I maybe come forward a little bit more than he does, but I think what he's done very well is played some of his best tennis when it matters.
Well, we've had you on a lot this summer on Tennis Channel, and there just seems to be such clarity to your game. I just wonder if at the age, the grand old age of 31, you're playing your very best tennis, or is it ahead of you?
No, I mean, I think I'm playing some of my best tennis, and, you know, I still feel like there's, you know, departments that I can improve on, and, you know, maybe spending a little bit of time away just being injured. You know, obviously, you reflect, and at least, you know, I, you know, always looking at ways I can improve, and, you know, I got back this year, and, you know, it's a lot of time on the practice court, and I found myself hitting some of the best balls that I've hit, you know, throughout my career, but I wasn't really finding that same form on the match court. And, you know, not that I don't work on mental, it's been a huge priority ever since I was a kid, but, you know, looking at even more, you know, ways and being even more clear on, you know, the kind of tennis I'm wanting to be playing, and also just the mentality that I'm trying to take out into the court.
Anderson in his first slam final against the great, the legendary Rafa Nadal. I've been trying to stay up to watch these games, but I get very confused. They're late, aren't they, basically?
Stay up, you might as well get up.
Get up, is it?
4:30 in the morning.
4:30 is a nonsense. Tonight's final, the two women, I think midnight UE times. So you've got to stay up late if you want to watch that one. And the men's final will be the same as well, Tom. So good luck to the listeners tuning into the agenda in the morning if you stay up to watch that one.
I just got a quick line from our friend David Spencer, who does so much for golf here in the region. David has kindly just texted in to say, let us know that Rehan Thomas, a man who, of course, very young man who's been on Sports Night a number of times, the defending champion, will play with Darren Clark for the first two rounds of the MENA Tours Dubai Creek Open at the Creek starting on Monday. They're going to be teeing off at 11 o'clock in the morning. Spenny, thank you very much indeed for that one. And you are going to catch up with Darren Clark? You have caught up with Darren Clark?
Yeah, no, he's coming in tomorrow evening. David has kindly sorted that out with Darren, so he's in for an hour tomorrow evening. So fortunately, Swansea-Newcastle is the chosen match in the Premier League, so we're going to miss the first half for Darren.
And he's a big Liverpool fan as well, he might be a bit grumpy.
He may well be a bit grumpy. I'm sure he'll be buoyed by the fact that he has been partnered with Rehan Thomas, and we spoke to Rehan on Thursday night's show. He is someone who genuinely has got the world at his, you know, at his feet. He is someone who could very well make a big name for himself. He is one of one of the ones we've got to keep an eye on. He's been nurtured here in the UAE, just 17 years of age, a fine golfer, and I'm sure he'll learn a lot from playing alongside Darren over the course of that Dubai Creek Open.
It'll be good. I'm sure Robbie's doing his research, and you both have interviewed Darren before, but it'd be good to get his thoughts on the transition from being a world-class amateur, taking on the difference between them becoming professional, because there is a big step and change. We know Rehan Thomas, who's done well in the last 18 months. He's performed incredibly well on the MENA Tour and locally, but he's also gone over recently to the US and played some of the big amateur, the more international events, and he's had some good success there. So it'd be good for him to really speak to Darren about the difference between amateur golf at the top of its level to just making that transition to the professional game.
We'll put that question to him, aren't you?
Cheers, Arch. 4:00, if you want to have your say. We're going to take a short break when we come back. Round the grounds one final time as we build up to kick off in the 6 o'clock here in the UAE. In the Premier League, you've got Leicester against Chelsea, plus all the goals from the other games coming up.
Unbelievable goal!
It's a homecoming. The Grill is back at Barasti, the best bar to watch sport live every Saturday afternoon from Barasti.
Okay, let's just check in with the Bundesliga, see if there's been any earlies in the kickoffs there. They got underway about 20 minutes ago.
There's been one goal, a solitary goal in the Borussia Mönchengladbach Eintracht Frankfurt game, and it's Kevin Prince Boateng, the former Tottenham man. He was released by Las Palmas over in Spain during the summer. He got his deal over in Germany. I think he wanted to move back closer to his family, and he's hit the ground running because it's Borussia Mönchengladbach 0, Frankfurt 1. And it is Mr. Boateng on the score sheet.
Bath leading Sarries at the moment in the early kickoff. Bath 14, Sarries 0, thanks to tries from Lowe and points from the boot from Priestland. Let's get down to Lords, find out what's happening in the cricket.
Yeah, England chasing a target of 107 to win the third and final, which will be a decisive test match victory for them, 2-1, if they can score the runs. They made a bright start. They are 25 without loss. Stoneman on 12, Cook on 8. Of course, earlier today, England bowled the West Indies out for 177. Jimmy Anderson with his test best figures. His best figures in a test match, took 7 for 42. So he's looking like getting the magnum there for man of the match if he can get past Ben Stokes. So England 25 without loss. They require another 82 runs. If you have a ticket for Lords tomorrow, tough luck. Give Tom Urquhart a call and see what you can do in London on a Sunday.
And just very quickly, because this week we saw Australia level the series against Bangladesh.
Yeah, we saw two series actually finish up. Sri Lanka weren't great at home. India very dominant in that series there. But we saw Australia fight back to level the test series against Bangladesh. Good win by Australia. Nathan Leon, the star, taking 7 wickets with his off-spin. Let's just have a quick listen to the wrap-up of the second test match where Australia won and squared the series 1-1 against Bangladesh.
Adam Collins here with Mohammad Assam at the end of the Bangladesh-Australia test series. 1-1 is the result after Australia have triumphed today by 7 wickets. Bangladesh fell at a terrible second innings collapse, all out for 157. Nathan Lyon put on a clinic, took 13 wickets for the test match, and that was the difference.
That was the biggest difference of this whole series, I think. Ultimately, Nathan Lyon's performance will be rated as one of the best performances by an Australian spinner. Today, he made it count. His all his experience of playing in the subcontinent, playing in Australia, I think he made sure that his discipline didn't waver. I felt that the Bangladesh batsmen also were a little guilty at times of maybe overdoing the defensive game a bit, maybe overdoing the aggressive game a bit. But again, whatever the Bangladesh batsmen have done, I think Nathan Lyon has made it look even better. His performance made it look even better.
Yeah, he absolutely feasted on the Bangladesh top order, which were chock full of left-handers. He picked up 3 wickets in a collapse that totaled 4 for 11 at one stage early in the Bangladesh innings. They were still 30 behind when they had a bit of a resistance either side of the lunch break, a couple of good partnerships. But once they were broken, there was nothing left. And ultimately, despite playing the extra batsman, Bangladesh just didn't have that resilience when it mattered most.
That's what happens when you have an extra batsman. You think that the next guy will do the job. Mushfiqur Rahim told us at the press conference that they changed the batting lineup as Nasir Hussain going up the order, Sabir Rahman going up the order, and someone as technically correct as Mominul Haq had to be sacrificed at number 8. I think that was a huge mistake. I think if the top 5 were even left-handers and if they had committed themselves to a proper game plan, they did not need to tinker with the batting lineup. But I think that's one commendable factor that this Bangladesh team has, that some of the youngsters are coming up at times, but with Tamim and Shakib not making any runs, that's when the difficulty starts. Mushfiq obviously tried hard. As you said, either side of lunch, they got a good one from Cummins. Mm. So Australia had a great day. I would say that Bangladesh had an average day, probably one of their rare ones this year. I think they had a bad day in bad game in Gaul. This was a bad game. I felt that this was a great opportunity for them with the bat to save this match, even push for a win. You never know.
I'm going to say a few more words about Nathan Lyon, I think, here. 13 wickets. That's the fourth best return for an Australian spinner of all time. Shane Warne never took 13 wickets in a test match. Nathan Lyon has. He took 22 wickets in a two-game series. 22 wickets across two games. The third time on the trot, he's taken a bag of 6 wickets or greater. Those numbers speak for themselves. As you say, Issam, it is truly one of the all-time great performances.
So those are the thoughts on the Australia-Bangladesh series, which has been levelled up one apiece. We're cutting in because we need to head on down to Leicester. What's the name of the ground at Leicester? I've been trying to get that all day.
The King Power Stadium.
Of course it is. There it is. There it is. King Power will be heading on down there in just a few moments' time. Lots of football to look forward to. I've just looked. There's big games over in Spain this evening. Barcelona in action a little later on.
Yeah, Barcelona, Espanyol, Valencia, Atletico Madrid over in Italy. Lazio take on AC Milan in France as well. You've got the Côte d'Azur derby. It is Nice against Monaco. Games are plenty.
Are they bothering in France at the moment after PSG last night?
Yeah, that was some performance. A 5-1 win against FC Metz. Kylian Mbappe, the 18-year-old teen worth $166 million. He got a goal and an assist. It could have been 25. They are going to walk this. They'll break all records in doing it.
Chris McCarthy, I just want to thank you for everything. You're back on tomorrow, Sport Tonight, yeah?
Tomorrow evening, yes, Darren Clark. Do tune in for that one. We will be joined in studio for a live one-hour conversation with the former Open winner, former Ryder Cup captain as well. So that should be pretty much a good
Thank
evening.
Thank you to you. Thank you as well, Arch. Looking forward to crossing swords again very soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. I feel like Riyad Mahrez on Sports Tonight now because I've been sent to the airport and I haven't got a night to come and perform, but hopefully back at Brest next weekend.
There we go. Look at that. Barbed comments at the end of proceedings
that,
as well.
Arch.
Cheers. Big thanks to Benji, big thanks to Hector, big thanks to all the team here, big thanks to Elaine back in the studio, big thanks to each and every one of you for your text messages. We are going to play out with one final goodbye, not from us, but one man who's bowing out at Lord's today. Understand he's had a very nice lunch, a final lunch at the Lord's, courtesy of the Lord's caterers.
Blowers, he's been there for longer than I can remember, but what a legend, and we've seen him in Dubai a few times, but one of the true icons of sports commentary, particularly cricket.
It's his last commentary, he probably hasn't got that long to go as well, because it's all going England's way at the moment. This is him saying goodbye.
My dear old things, well, I'm afraid all good things come to an end. I've decided the time is right now to hang up my microphone. You'll have me for three more test matches, I warn you. The first two against South Africa at Lord's and Trent Bridge, and then at the end of the summer in early September against the West Indies, also at Lord's. You've been listening to me for nearly 50 years, can you believe it? It's been the greatest possible fun, and I know I leave Test Match Special in the safest possible hands. Under the guidance of Aggers, one day perhaps the best of the lot, and all everyone else. It's going to be tremendous listening for years and years ahead. My favourite memory, well, I think Headingley 1981, that amazing test against Australia, both of them 149 not out, Willis 8 for 43, England won by 17 runs. Always good to beat Australia, isn't it? And thank you, all of you, very much for listening for all this time.
See you next Saturday for more sport, more fans, and more balls. With an eye on sport, this is Dubai Eye 103.8.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.